You're listening to the Kitchen Obsessed podcast. Every week, we discuss the challenges facing modern restaurant kitchens and the technologies to help solve them. Now, here's your host, Sean Schenkel.
Hi, everyone. This is the Kitchen Obsessed podcast. I am Sean Schenkel. This podcast focuses on the evolving challenges facing restaurant kitchens in 2022 and beyond, and specifically how emerging technologies and changing operational approaches can help solve these problems. As always, our goal is to make this podcast useful to operators. And to that end, please let us know what subjects you'd like discussed by emailing us at podcast@freshtechnology.com. As long as it has to do with operational and technological problems and solutions in and around the kitchen, we'll look at hosting an industry expert to discuss it, or maybe even you. All right, let's dive in. Today, we are talking to Jake Brewer, the Chief Strategy Officer of Miso Robotics. Miso Robotics is the largest kitchen robotics manufacturer in the world today. They are automating many of the tasks that have traditionally been repetitive in the kitchen to drive better performance, reliability, and ROI, or return on investment. Today, we'll be discussing the robot side of our conversation in humans versus robots in the kitchen. Jake, it is great to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. All right, let's dive in. So before we get too deep, describe Miso.
Yeah, absolutely. So Miso Robotics, based out of Pasadena, California, we are just over 7 years old from the time when we started in a literal garage, because that has to be the technology story if you're from California.
That's exactly right.
And we started with a single operator issue that was brought to us. So the founding story, which is worth the hear, is John Miller, who's the CEO of Cali Group, who is a chain of burger, joints.
Right?
Yeah, Cali Burger, exactly right. Yeah, great, the West Coast. And he came to his buddy, Buck Jordan, who's a technologist, was a partner at Wavemaker Partners, and founded what is now Wavemaker Labs. And he said, hey, I can't get someone to staff the grill, which was shocking to him because he was kind of getting into this. So 7 years ago. And Buck was like, oh, that's the story all the time in restaurant operations. He goes, but you know what? I think I can make a robot that flips the burger for you. And John said, if you do that, I'll put it in my restaurant. And that is the foundation and the founding story of Miso. So fundamentally, we design, build, and manufacture robotic, automated, and AI systems that either do full tasks or augment human labor within commercial kitchens across fast casual, fast food, and full service to create a better environment for employees, better product for customers, and all around a more sustainable business model for the industry.
Okay, so in that first robot, that was Flippy, right?
That was Flippy. We still, it actually causes confusion. We don't flip burgers any longer at the grill.
Okay, so Flippy grew up.
Flippy learned a new task, which is frying the bank of fryers, which is in millions of restaurants around the world. And that's what Flippy does. But we still, you'll look in a lot of press and they still say burger flipping robot Flippy. That is where we started, but we commercialized and are scaling the fryer version of Flippy, but we kept the name because you can't just change someone's name, you know,
that's so right.
Flippy is Flippy.
That's exactly right. So we've all evolved throughout the course of our careers. Robots no different. Okay, so we've got lots of conversations going on about automation in the kitchen, as you mentioned. And so we've been talking about it a lot here, right? So we talk about robotics, we talk about AI, natural language processing, et cetera, all in light of greater efficiency, the labor headwinds, inflation, strengthening EBITDA, et cetera. How do you think SMB operators should think about robotics in light of this larger conversation?
Well, it has to be part of the thought process, certainly, going forward, for all the known reasons. The wage rates taking a bite out of your EBITDA, the labor gap, meaning the inability to fundamentally staff as efficiently as you'd like to. I mean, we've all watched as operators a good turnover climb from 60% to 70% to 80% to 90%. And now currently, you know, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics have it somewhere around 144% turnover in the restaurant industry.
Yeah. In fact, we were talking, Dan, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dan Simpson and I, CEO of Tzatziki's last podcast, we were talking about that and they were celebrating being in the low 100s in some cases,
and
a little bit below, which is amazing when we think about when we're celebrating 100% turnover per year and that being good in today's labor market. But yes, definitely some strong headwinds. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, no, that's right. And you know, anytime you want to interrupt me to put a good Dan Simpson quote, I'm all for it. Good
hey,
buddy.
Love Dan.
Love Dan. So for all those reasons, I think everyone needs to be thinking about it and really asking, well, I'll kind of take a step back actually. Robotics is a big word that seems unapproachable to a lot of people, especially in the small mid-range categories. It's like, well, okay, that's for only the big guys and the big brands out there. When one, that's not true. Second, let's go down that real quick journey of robotics versus automation versus AI. And we play in all three of those categories. When you say robotics, like our product, you think of an arm. You think of almost like the humanoid type situation where it's literally doing a complex series of tasks. And that's right. That's the right way to think about it. A robot can take varied, independent, and not predefined inputs, kind of compute what needs to happen and have a varying set of outputs for those. Okay. So in our instance, we're frying dozens of different items for our customers. We don't know which the next product up is. We have to make a decision when mozzarella sticks are put into the process. And you go, okay, well, I know the cook time, but there's a cross-contamination risk based on dairy. And it's starting to make real-time calculations, just like a human would. It's trying to mimic what a human is doing. That's what kind of what we put the layman terms around robotics. Automation is mousetrap. Automation is something that is a vending machine is automation. The fast food drive-through drink machines that do any sort of like auto top-off, that's automation. It's been around for a long time. And that is also hitting a really big growth curve right now. And then there's AI. These are the things that do dynamically tell employees or guests what to do. Hey, go into this drive-through line, not that drive-through line, because those one's shorter right now if you have your or. Hey, cook this product now because you're about ready to run out on, you know, on the floor and in the line. That's AI. These things are three different distinct categories that sometimes get lumped unfairly into kind of robotics or automation. Yep. And there are differences. And so as we kind of have this discussion, just keep that in mind. And there are varying levels, but they're all coming to fruition now into the restaurant industry in a big way.
Yeah.
So you should be thinking about this in light of a couple things. One, your brand. So, you know, we can talk a lot about robots versus humans, but I use this a lot. Sean, what kind of car do you drive? You mind if I ask?
A Volvo.
A Volvo. Do you know the sir or madam in Sweden that built your engine? And do you care to know?
It would be interesting to know, but I don't. I do like that they were in Sweden or China. I think it's owned by a Chinese company now, but I think they're built in Sweden still.
I think they still are built in Sweden. I'm a big Volvo fan, actually. But the reality is you didn't make your purchase decision by saying, who built this engine, right?
Right.
Now, if you're buying a Ferrari, it's actually a bit, or a Mercedes with an AMG engine in it. Those are hand-built. It's part of the branding of that, right? So it would be a big thing to step away from that.
Yeah.
Same thing for restaurants. No one goes, whoa. Hey, you don't stop at the drive thru and go, were these hand fried? Were these French fries hand fried?
That's good. Yeah.
You don't care. What you want it to be is hot and fresh. And actually what the consumer's caring more about is, was it clean? Is it a clean label? Was it ethically sourced? Right. But no one's going to ask if the French fries were fried by a human or a robot. They don't care. And so when you look at your brand, you got to hold to what the values are. The example I'll use, my previous role as vice president of restaurant excellence for Carl's and Hardee's based here in Nashville. And Hardee's has a very deep tie to handmade biscuits. They are the best biscuits in the industry.
Yep.
They are literally hand mixed, hand rolled, hand cut, placed into an oven. Your grandma could make these biscuits if she had this recipe, right?
The secret recipe. Correct.
Exactly. The reality is though, a robot could easily do the tasks that are needed, and we could easily either roboticize or automate that process for Hardee's. But they shouldn't, and they shouldn't want to, right? Yep. Phil should go, nah, that's a brand asset I can't touch. Yep. And so when we're talking to these folks in operations or running these companies going, well, how should I think about this? You got to start with your brand, and you got to start with what are the sacred cows? I would also strongly encourage everyone to really reduce that list of sacred cows down to truly ones. Sometimes you get held on to the concept that something is, well, that's fundamental to our brand. And you kind of unwind it and you're like, but why? Why is that fundamental to our brand? And so I think that is the first step. And then it's a pretty simple process from there. The last step there, though, is you go, okay, so now there's these things that I can't touch. But then there's a whole bunch of things. Make that list as long as possible. What could I touch with automation and robotics? And then you simply start to in the cross section of what's out there today. So if you have fryers, you should be looking at miso or lab to fab or Karakuri and saying, okay, or do any of these fit my brand? And do any of them have a really strong ROI case for me? And the answer on that last part, the ROI case, I think you'll be super surprised if you start digging into it that the answer is emphatically yes at this point. Yep.
Okay, so let's unpack this because a lot of really good stuff here. So we've got the concept of brand identity, and then we have the trickle down into the economics. When we talk about return on investment, when we talk about EBITDA, basically we're talking about bottom line. The subject of automation, robotics, AI coming together, it's playing primarily in the field of variable costs, right? So, and it's primarily on the labor line item. And so it certainly is the place where we can influence that bottom line. There's a matrix, I think, when we come to thinking about how, as an SMB operator, how do I approach this? I love the idea. It makes sense. Start with what is true to our mission of who we are. If it is handmade biscuits, or if it is certain kinds of freshness or prep or things like that, then don't touch that and then start to unpack the areas that we can touch. The idea, there is a blend between technology and people. And when we talk about robotics, we really are talking about a robot can't necessarily come to its full value without some automation and without AI. So it makes sense how those things have to all work together. So I think as if I'm an operator, I'm thinking through the lens of an operator. Now I start to get into the question of how and when. And so I think before we sort of dive into this idea of with my brand, do I spend dollars developing better training programs or do I spend dollars investing in robots and automation? Let's start by saying, what are sort of like the service styles that are quickly drawn to robotics versus ones that might need the dots connected a little bit more?
Yeah, the ones that kind of are called a short putt for automation and robotics would be the ones that are tech forward to start with. The first step you're going to take in this journey isn't a robot, right? It's going to be fundamentally infrastructure. And if you don't get your Wi-Fi program in line first.
Okay, this is good. POS That's right. Program. We all think robots are sexy. Start with making sure you've got a good network. I think that's a fair, a good point.
So now we have this restaurant that goes, okay, I have a good network. My POS is in a spot with a brand that I like. And it's going, okay, I am to the point that I want to understand, do these dollars go to training or to robotics? And what lends itself well to robotics are super repeatable tasks. And I think you think about this in different ways. One is, let's talk coffee. Let's say you're a brand that has a really robust coffee program, or that's part of your program. I'd start looking first into some of the medium, higher end automated coffee machines that are out there. So what level do I invest in that, Sean?
Yeah,
do I go to the super high end? What do I do? And the reality is, it should be something that you walk through and it shouldn't feel mismatched from your operations. If it feels like it doesn't fit, it probably doesn't fit, right? And the example I'll use is there's another great Tennessee company, Frankie Food Systems, and they make some really great automated coffee systems. But some of their coffee systems have 7 different flavor shots and 4 different milks and 7 different coffee beans that grind a cup, and the grinding adjusts to the altitude that you're at, you know, like based on where your location is. It's crazy cool technology. The reality is that might be really cool, but it might be a complete mismatch from an automation perspective for what you need. So I would say put a square peg in a square hole. When you think about investing into automation, think about, what is my program today? I will say though, you do need to think not 30 years into the future, 10 years in the future. You might get hemmed in with automation where you say, in the coffee example, it has 2 different beans. And then all of a sudden you forgot that you do a seasonal roast around, you know, Thanksgiving. You do a pumpkin roast or a different type of drink. And all of a sudden your workforce may have forgot how to do a manual task. And therefore what used to be easy becomes hard.
Okay,
and so
that's good.
Flexibility has the potential to go down if you look at automation with a too narrow of a lens. However, it can seem unapproachable if your lens goes too wide. And so it is a little bit of a nuance to think through, again, that whole sacred cows conversation and saying, what does our brand stand for now with our menu? And what is it going to do in the next couple of years? Is there any concrete things? I'm an operator at heart, ran restaurants, I designed restaurants. Now I'm building robots for restaurants. So I say it with much love, but don't let the marketing team all of a sudden start to say, well, we may someday want to do a lavender coffee drink. And you go, unfortunately, we should stop designing operations around what may happen on the whim of someone down the road. What are we doing today? What are we doing tomorrow? Because the labor issues that are facing the restaurant industry are real, and they are causing restaurants to shut. And taking it to a serious turn for a second, as I go, the number one saddest call that Miso gets is from the 1 to 30 store operator that just, you know, we're working through a very long backlog list of customers that need solutions. And they're like, but if you don't deploy this, I have to shut my doors. And they start begging with you. And I'm being very honest. I go, that is the hardest freaking call to take, because this is all fun and it is a fun concept. There's actually real businesses, jobs, paychecks on the line. And we got to be making smart decisions for operations. And there's a real problem out there with this labor gap. And not everyone's experiencing it. And that's fine. And I was talking to another brand, which say the name, but they're like, yeah, I think you're wrong. I think there isn't a labor problem. And I go, I would restate that. I'd say, good for you that you don't have a labor problem.
That's but absolutely true.
I just spoke to 30 other brands.
Yeah.
I spoke to 30 other brands, you know, this month that are very challenged.
So let's break this apart, because this is good. Number one, I love this. Start with your brand identity. And I would say start with your mission statement, which that's a theme that I've really noticed throughout the course of these conversations on this podcast, which is really start with your identity. Get that locked in. And your identity is not just the food you make, but it is also the type of environment that you make the food in, the employees, the people you want working for you, the customers that you want to serve. Like, start with your mission and build from there, right? So whether you're focusing on a training program or focusing on robotics, start there. Then another similar theme is build small, right? Step by step. Let's not cut all the way to the end. And I think, you know, operators can get overwhelmed, especially with so much tech coming at them. And so I think, like, it's okay to slow down and build small. Like, that makes sense. Get your Wi-Fi, get your POS, get your partnerships in line. And then what I also heard you say was, hey, don't jump to the end of a sophisticated sort of new, something that is in the news making a lot of headway. Go to the first step of automation in robotics, which may not be flippy. It may be a new coffee maker that handles a couple of different flavors. And so even sort of thinking 3 months to 18 months, right? In that time frame, I think that which we do with a little, we can do with a lot, right? So if we don't want to hem ourselves in too much, but we also don't want to sort of like have the future completely proofed. Let's be honest. This type of an investment is a big investment, not only from a capital standpoint, like it takes a lot to really feed and thread robotics, AI, automation into your operations. When you have those fundamentals in place, look to find areas where automation like robotics can improve reliability, can reduce turnover, can improve EBITDA and ROI. And so it is a way to build upon successful fundamentals rather than try to replace one of those fundamentals in something that may not be working.
Yeah, you hit that on the head. For the large swath of what we're talking about, the one place I'll challenge that is...
Yeah. Please.
True robotics. So like the fry station would be an example of this, where I think it sounds challenging and complex. And I go, if you have 3 or 4 or 5 fryers in your restaurant and you don't do something like super crazy, then you can probably automate it. The upfront thought is a lot deeper and harder to get over than the actual implementation. I mean, it's going to take you 2 nights. So do we install overnight? Right now, we have a path to get down to 1 12-hour overnight. The reality is it's taking us about a night and a half. So we come in at night, install, then we train for 1.5 hours and you will no longer fry food with a human. You will fry food with a robot.
All right. So, you know, as we start to land the plane on this, I want to talk about like in and around people. I'm an SMB operator. I'm thinking about this.
Yep.
And I have one choice that I can make. And I'm thinking about robotics in any capacity. And I need to focus either on a tech solution or a people solution for my kitchen people problems over the next 2 quarters. Which should it be and why?
Okay. In the next 2 quarters.
Yeah.
Then you have to be people focused. You just have to. There's no speed in which you'll be able to deploy technology to impact the next 2 quarters. However, don't get caught on the hamster wheel, because the next 2 quarters becomes the next 2 quarters becomes the next 2 quarters. And suddenly you look back and you could have absolutely been having a bigger impact now had you started then. So what's my advice here is twofold. One, you have to go find the incremental bandwidth in dollars, whether that's internal or external, to start the process now. You have to do it. You have to go start the process now of what automation or robotic technology can impact my operations. And you have to start that process now. It's a very fun thought process to say it's either here or there. The reality is it's never actually only here or there. Yeah. And so start now, start small. And then that equation, if you know, in my head, I'm kind of seeing bar graphs, but they're kind of crossing in the middle where it's like you're starting small with robotics, but it's going to get bigger.
Yep.
You're going to start with people training and it should get smaller. And they're inversely proportional because you will do less but more specific people training as your automation and robotics in your kitchen grow.
So if I have to make an impact in the short term, it's got to be people, but I can't live there. Otherwise, my head's buried in the sand. And as we talk about this idea of humans versus robots in the kitchen, there's a blend of both, right?
Yeah, it's got to be both.
Yeah. So a couple of quick things as we sort of wrap up here. How can robotics reduce human turnover? And then okay. What are the types of capital investment operators need to think about? Because those two things are directly connected.
They are. Absolutely. So how can it reduce turnover? One is, not to play too direct into it, is the robot's not going to quit. It's not going right.
to. Yeah, know, that one's on the nose. Fair enough.
No, I'm glad you asked it. Because the next thing is, think about the day. And I've worked in restaurants. You've worked in restaurants. We've been around restaurants. And I love, by the way, I am kitchen obsessed. Like, I feel like I should get a shirt. You know, you should like get a shirt that, because this is me. I'm kitchen obsessed. And I go, and for those of us who are kitchen obsessed, remember the day you walked into the kitchen and you were on Burger Station Expo, you were making the Giro, you know, whatever you were doing in that kitchen, and that one critical role didn't show up, they called in. And that's not like a blue moon instant. This isn't this is weekly, daily. And you go, shoot, I know exactly, as the manager walks over, who's already working another shift, and they go, hey, Sean, listen, here's the deal. You and Jake are going to split the grill task today, and you're going to slide over. And you're like, my job that I signed up for and I was getting paid for, I'm not getting paid more to go now do this double duty task. All I'm getting paid with is more pressure, customers that are probably a little bit more frustrated. And when we focus on automation, like those critical roles, like the fry station is an obvious one for those concepts that have fryers. When that station is filled, if someone calls in, I'm not going to be lifting baskets. I'm not going to be running over there and managing this station for someone else. And so unequivocally, it's a net positive. You know, so let's just assume the technology always works perfectly all the time. And we're getting very close to the uptimes, you know, the 99s, 99.5s, where you go, yeah, it's as reliable as anything. Certainly more reliable than the person that's not showing up in that instance. That absolutely directly correlates to lower turnover because... Sure. One, you have the job filled. Two, the stress for every other location is going down. You know, we see 15 to 20% faster drive-through speed of service times or front counter speed of service times. So all of a sudden, guests are happier. The food is likely fresher because it's going to be produced in a more data-driven way that's not reactionary. And so when you start to play all these things out, you go, the world should have less food waste. That's part of our mission. The world should have happier guests. That's part of our mission. But more importantly, the restaurant should have happier team members. And that's part of our mission. All of that, I think, directly leads to reduced turnover.
I like it. This has been great. And I think the principles on humans versus robots are very similar, right? Brand standards, fixing fundamentals. I think training matters. But it's really like these two things are going to coexist. It's about really setting the levers for your brand, the levers being automation, robotics, people. And setting those levers to deliver the most value in the long run. So this has been great. Jake Brewer, Chief Strategy Officer for Miso Robotics. And certainly have enjoyed this immensely. So Jake, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you. This was great. And the name's perfect. I'm kitchen obsessed. I could spend all day doing this.
I love it. Me too. So this has been a lot of fun. All right. Well, thanks again for listening. And we hope this has been useful. And please let us know if we can do more to answer your questions. Thank you so much and have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for listening to the Kitchen Obsessed podcast. If you work in a restaurant and are interested in appearing on the podcast, send us an email at podcast@freshtechnology.com and tell us your story. We'll be back next week with more tips from the kitchen.